Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. The thought that the Lord keeps a record of the names of His people occurs as early as the second book of Moses, Exodus. Only the prophet Malachi, however, calls it a book of remembrance. A.J. Overton examines today Malachi's comments on those who feared the Lord.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, once again in the name of the Lord Yeshua. King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, declared to the Lord God, I am a companion or friend of all those who fear thee and of those who keep thy precepts. David belonged to a group who formed the very key to Israel's history. They are called in the Hebrew Scriptures the remnant, a spiritual Israel within the national Israel. The prophet Elijah complained to the Lord in his day, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The Lord replied to Elijah, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. By the time of Isaiah the prophet, the number of this spiritual Israel had so diminished that he stated, Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been like unto Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And now, following the exile, in the days of the prophet Malachi, we meet again this remnant. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. These words form a beautiful picture containing individuals of whom it is twice declared they feared the Lord. They stand in marked contrast to the remainder of the population. As the prophet Malachi approaches the closing section of his prophecy, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel, he returns to the subject of judgment on a very profound level. The differences between those who serve God and those who do not are delineated not only in the present life, but more importantly in the day of God's great judicial inquest. God's accusations recorded in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, embody special and serious significance. He begins with a bold declaration, Your words have been stout or strong against me, saith the Lord. The Lord charges his people with murmuring against him. The word translated stout against is one of at least four words in the Hebrew Scriptures that belong to the murmuring theme. The design of this murmuring motif expresses more than a mere complaint or dissatisfaction. It describes, rather, an open rebellion. It was such a challenge that the children of Israel had given to Moses and Aaron, even to God himself, when they murmured during the wilderness wanderings. Acts of this nature, if continued, result in destruction. In Malachi's disputation style, the people are viewed again as those who demand proof of such a solemn charge. Yet ye say, What have we spoken so much against thee? The evidence of their guilt is discovered in their statements made to one another. Their very words formed their condemnation, for God had been listening in on their conversations. Ye have said, It is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Is it vain to serve God? These claimed so. The word vain supports the accusation of rebellion. It is the same expression used in their covenant stipulation concerning the use of God's name. Their claims also asserted that there was no profit in the keeping of God's ordinance or keeping his charge. Again, here is a term used throughout the Hebrew Scriptures that refers to the covenant requirements of Israel, both priest and people. Malachi's disputants were actually questioning the prophet in keeping God's covenant made with them. These two bold assertions is followed by a third and last impudent claim. Nothing was to be gained, they said, by walking mournfully or in mourning before the Lord of hosts. The amazing fact is that these very complainers were active in the temple. They were going through the ceremonies most religiously. They clothed themselves here in dark sackcloth and even blackened their faces in special acts of mourning and fasting to convey apparent grief, sorrow, and repentance for the sin and plight of Israel. The entire undertaking, however, proved to be a sham on their part. Worth was being attributed only to the act itself. It was as devoid in Malachi's day as in Isaiah's day of the genuine piety required by the Lord who inspects the heart. Yet, they blame the covenant God of Israel. In verse 15, these accusers are now prepared to present their evaluations based on such atrocious implications. But now, we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. These mockeries, recorded in verse 15, have been called the strange beatitudes. Blessed are the arrogant or proud. Blessed are the evildoers, for they prosper. And blessed are those who challenge or test God, for they will know escape or deliverance. These are absurd conclusions, of course, based on flimsy evidence. They are diametrically opposed to God's previous statements to Malachi, where he invites their obedience and promises to pour out more blessings than they would have capacity to receive and to exalt them and to make them a blessing to the nations. Yet this perverse attitude was prevailing among people and priests. Such false assumptions remain current even in our societies today. There is often genuine dismay by many people concerning the arrogant despisers or defiers of God, who appear to enjoy security and prosperity. The psalmist faced this issue. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. The mockers do not go, however, into the sanctuary or into God's presence for an answer, as the psalmist, the prophet Habakkuk, Malachi, the spiritual remnant in Israel, and thousands of others through the centuries and even in our own time. The focus now shifts in verse 16 to that small and faithful group who truly fear the Lord. Again, the Lord is viewed as listening in attentively as they converse. The contents, however, of their conversations with one another are substantially different from those whose words consist of harsh things spoken against the Lord. This nucleus of the faithful, whose high and holy regard for the Lord formed their primary motivation in life, comprised the true spiritual Israel in contrast to the ungodly mass of people, even though they considered themselves religious. As those who feared the Lord talked with each other, they encouraged one another to faithfulness and true worship and expectation, especially in the light of the godless attitudes expressed by the majority. Faithful words and faithful acts often may appear lost, but they are written, Malachi declares, in God's book or scroll of remembrance. In brief, Those who feared the Lord and thought on or honored His name believed God, like Abraham, who considered God faithful, who had made the promise. In doing so, these, as Abraham, were accounted as righteous. This small remnant set their highest value upon the name, that is, the being and the character of God. In such inventory, God's person and His promises become their most valuable possession. The expression, the Book of Remembrance, occurs only here in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, even though there are several earlier references to a book in which God records the names of His people. The divine books, infallibly kept, will someday be opened, and the rewards and the punishments meted out. Malachi now shows that it is not at all the same whether a person is thus righteous or unrighteous. He declares, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." The destiny of the faithful remnant and the murmuring, though they are religious rejectors, are not the same. The great rabbi from Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, proclaims concerning Israel, "So too, at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace." All day long, the Lord stated through the prophet Isaiah, "I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, yet invites, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Will you come and be among His jewels in that day?